My name is Tyler Sams. I'm one of the preachers for the Judson Road Church of Christ in Longview, Texas. Thank you for joining me today. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to open up in your Old Testament to the book of Psalms, and we'll be there in just a few moments, the book of Psalms in your Old Testament. With the exception of the book of Revelation, and perhaps a few of the other prophetic books, no other book of the Bible is more difficult to understand and digest than the book of Psalms. There are portions of the book of Psalms that are intimately familiar. For example, we might be familiar with the first psalm, the man who is blessed by God, or Psalm 23, where we're told the Lord is our shepherd. But then there are about 145 other psalms that we're not quite so familiar with, and perhaps we're even intimidated by. But that stands in stark contrast to our general view of the Psalms, where we see in them real emotion, where we see real life experience, and where perhaps we even see ourselves. John Calvin had this to say about the book of Psalms. He said, "I have been wont to call this book, not inappropriately, an anatomy of all parts of the soul. For there is not an emotion of which any one can be conscious that is not here represented as in a mirror. We see the different writers going from happiness to sadness to despair, and we feel those same emotions. Perhaps we've even turned to these psalms in some of these moments in our lives. These psalms are familiar. But at the same time, as Trimper Longman would say, these psalms are also foreign. He says, the Psalter is one of the most familiar and most foreign books in the Bible. It is familiar to us from constant exposure in both private and public devotional readings. It is foreign to us because of its poetic idiom and its implicit setting. We hear the Psalms read, maybe we even sing the Psalms or pray the Psalms, and in that way they're familiar to us. But then we look at the Psalms and we realize they're poetry, they're Hebrew poetry, and at that they're ancient Hebrew poetry. There's a disconnect there. And in these studies, that's what we're going to try to bridge. We're going to try to use tools that are at our disposal to better understand the Psalms and to make these Psalms more applicable for our lives today. In this study today, however, we've got three goals. Number one, we want to understand the structure of the book of Psalms as a whole. Secondly, we want to understand the broad categories of Psalms. And then third, we want to be able to recognize the specific type of psalm that we're reading. Let's start by just simply talking about what a psalm is. And simply stated, a psalm is a poem. Not a poem like you and I are necessarily familiar with from our American construct, but a poem nonetheless. The Hebrew name for this book is related to a word that we might be familiar with, the word hallelujah, praise God. And so these are poems then that are praise to God. These psalms are intended to glorify God, to extol God, and then they have a practical benefit of drawing us closer to God. That's inherent here in the design of these praise poems. Now, when we look at the book of Psalms from a bird's eye view, and we're right to call it the book of Psalms, but in reality it is composed of five smaller books. These books break down pretty evenly. Book number one begins at the first psalm and goes through the 41st psalm. Psalm 42 begins the second book that goes all the way to the 72nd psalm. Psalm 73 picks up the third book and goes all the way to the 89th psalm. And then in Psalm 90, we begin book four that goes through the 106th psalm, until finally we get to the 107th psalm, which takes us then in book 5 to the end of the book of Psalms. Why is it important to understand these books? Why is it important to map them out? Well, if we were to diagram the books within the book of Psalms, this is what we would see. We go from level to lower. And in fact, when we get to book 3 and the end of book 3, Psalm 88 and Psalm 89, we're really in the pit and the valley of despair. But then beginning in Psalm 90 in book 4 and going through books 4 and 5, we rise and we find ourselves being carried higher and higher until we're at a new plane, until we're at a new orientation. That's the big movement in the Psalms from one book to another, that's going to help us understand these Psalms, to fit them into their specific structure, and then to be able to understand the Psalms by seeing which book they belong to. And then let's talk about how to categorize the Psalms. Historically, there are three broad categories to the Psalms. There are what are called hymn Psalms. Be turning in your Old Testaments in the book of Psalms to the 96th Psalm. Look with me at Psalm 96. These hymn Psalms focus on the praise of God and on the praise of His goodness. And what sets these hymn Psalms apart from other Psalms is that generally at the very beginning of the Psalm or at the ending of the Psalm, we're going to have a call for worship, a call to worship God, to praise Him. For example, look at the first two verses of Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. There's that call to worship. The 115th Psalm is also a hymn psalm, but in this case, that call to worship is found at the ending of the psalm rather than at the beginning. So one category of psalms are these hymn psalms that extol and praise God in His goodness. A second category would be psalms of lament, psalms of mourning. These are psalms where the writer often focuses on a personal, difficult situation and presents that situation to the Lord in the hopes that in some way He will help, whether that is by changing one's orientation, changing one's heart, or by remedying the situation in one way or another. A great example of this category of psalms is the third psalm. In Psalm 3, we see a great example of a psalm of lament. The first two verses of Psalm 3 read, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Difficult situation, personal situation, being presented to God for help. Here is a psalm of mourning. Here is a psalm of lamentation. But there's something else we need to understand here. Look at verses 7 and 8 of the third psalm. Just because we place a psalm in the hymn category or the lament category doesn't mean that they don't have characteristics of the other. For example, you look at verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 3. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. You read verse 8. Does that sound mourning? Does that sound lamentful? Well, of course not. Even though this is a psalm of lament, many times these psalms of lament are also going to have elements of hymnody or thanksgiving in them. But understanding these categories are general, these help us understand the psalms in a very general and a very practical way. Here's the third broad historic category of the psalms. That is psalms of thanksgiving. In psalms of thanksgiving, there is normally a specific situation that is in mind, and God is offered thanks for His care and for His providence. And oftentimes in these psalms of thanksgiving, there is praise that is offered to God for the fact that He has answered prayer. Look at the 30th psalm with me. Psalm 30, this is a really good example of a psalm of thanksgiving. Look at the first three verses. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help. There's prayer, and you healed me. There's answered prayer. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God for His preservation. Thankfulness to God for answered prayer. So, as we step back and we review this study, let's remember that the book of Psalms is composed of five smaller books. It's important to understand that's because there's a very subtle movement that's going on here from level to low to higher in these five books. We might say from orientation to disorientation to reorientation. And then there are three major historic categories of the Psalms. You have hymns, you have laments, and you have thanksgivings. A psalm might not be exclusive to any one of these categories. They may have elements that bleed over into the others. But by taking a psalm and placing it into one of these three categories based on the text of the psalm, we can better understand that psalm. We can give ourselves the tools then to make an application of that psalm to our lives. Thanks for joining with me today in our next study. Lord willing, we're going to look at Hebrew poetry, some of the hallmarks of Hebrew poetry and how that's going to be significant for us in understanding the Psalms. And then in future studies, we're going to actually look at individual Psalms, place them in these categories, examine them for the poetry that is in them, and then draw them out and make application in our lives. Thanks for being with me today. I hope you'll be with us in future studies. Have a great day.